Hello.
Yo, good morning.
Jesus, I can't sing. God.
You can't sing?
I can't sing. Hi, Jesus.
Did you attempt to just sing?
Yes, now.
Sorry.
I actually tried, but I don't know. That talent is good.
Oh my goodness. I didn't even realize that you were trying to sing. I thought you were shouting.
No, what do you take me for? How far now? How are you?
I'm fine. Welcome, guys. Welcome. It has been so long.
Yeah. Even Timo was asking me like a few days ago, and it was like, how far now? No episode this week. And I was like, yeah, you know that.
We have loyal people. We have loyal fans. It's
not easy. She said fans.
Yes, now we're fam. Like, I'm farming this whole community. Like, we are all fans. Like, FAMS. Fams. Not fans. Not FAMS.
Okay.
Fams. Oh, my wait. Sorry. Is something wrong with my N and my M?
Let's not
fams.
Go there.
FAMS.
So wait, Chu, before we start, what have you been up to first of all?
When was the last time? Okay, last time we recorded was, computer conversation. 3 weeks. I think 3 weeks
yeah.
ago. Yeah, okay. So what have I been up to?
Yeah.
For me to think, that means, ma'am, my life is uneventful.
I'm telling you, guy, like, I just realized that my life is boring.
Chew. Okay, wait. So I've been watching movies. And then...
No, that is not even bad at all. Like, which kind of movies have you been watching? I need you know, people to refer me.
I'm seeing that you are in like the romantic movie era now. Like,
how do you know? Oh, you saw my post.
I'm seeing your status.
No, let me tell you something. Time I'm having like a tough time, like mentally. I like looking for like a coping mechanism, and the past few weeks it has been. I know it might sound weird, but the past few weeks I've watched over 50 Hallmark movies, and I'm not exaggerating. I just see, like, you know that the ending is going to be good. You get, like, I don't know. There's something they call those kind of
people.
I don't
know. It's fairy tale.
Exactly. So you just like, okay, let me just, like, I have the time. And there's also this series I've been watching, shout out to Netflix, Virgin River. Like, it is actually, like, you know, very sweet. You should check it out also. It actually wins the series. Yeah, look at the new campaign for Netflix. Maybe we
I'm telling you, maybe we should tag Netflix to let them exactly. You know, let them pay us commission.
You know,
yeah, anyway. So yeah. I think I've been watching movies. I tried to read a book. I've been reading that book for, let's say, let me just say 3 weeks now. That book is, I'm surprised that he wrote bestseller on that book.
Jesus! Please don't mention the name of the author. This podcast.
I'm not. But I'm so terribly disappointed.
That everybody's bestseller. I mean, I don't know.
No, chill. Yeah, I guess. Like, no. Chill. No, everybody's not bestseller. Wait, chill. Everybody's not bestseller, because I think I've read a book that was not bestseller and was okay, was nice, it was very good. So the person was not a bestseller, but the novel was mad, like very mad. Now this one is bestseller. Like, I don't know. Like, maybe you expect. Maybe it's because the settings are, you know, we're in Nigeria, the setting is abroad, so is in the UK. So I cannot really relate to some of this.
Yeah.
Yes, like, because they use locations in Wales, locations in Scotland. So I've never seen those places. So it's really hard to imagine those locations and, you know, play it in my head. So sometimes I can just be in Lagos. But they are right. Lagos is snow. And they are writing wheels. So it's really, really hard to, like, imagine. So maybe that's why I'm not really grasping the essence of her bestseller. But okay, I just said it hard. Like, that's where it's going to end. I'm not going to say the name of the author. I don't even know the name of the author, to be even, like, honest. Like, I don't know.
You don't even know the name of the author of the book, Yari?
No, I've even forgotten. What's the name of the book? I'm not going to say the name of the book.
Because
the other should not come for me.
Exactly.
Like, like it's a review now. Like, I feel like they don't mind bad reviews or good reviews. Authors don't mind. I think it's like feedback for them.
And she's already a bestseller. She don't cash out. So
yeah, as in she doesn't need me. She knows I'm like Lagos. Why are you? Excuse me.
She does not need your reviews, please.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what I've been doing. I've been reading. I've been trying to read a book. I've been watching movies. What else have I been? I've been applying to jobs. Yeah. So that's. Yeah.
You know, I've also started journaling. Like, I've not been that consistent. Oh. But I started. Like, I know that sounds weird. Like, for me, that always used to think that. Like, I never thought journaling was bad, or don't get me wrong, but I'm always like, I can't pull my emotions on a piece of paper or something and think that I'll feel better. Like, get bored. I've tried it like past few weeks, and it has not been that bad, to be honest.
Yeah. So, side note, yeah. I thought, was I the one that told you to journal?
You made mention of it at that time. Like, yeah. About journaling and stuff like that. And I was just like, when I was like really desperate, I was like, let me just try this thing. Let me just try it. Like, if it doesn't work, I'll just tear it. So,
Yeah, so, let me just give you a side note that someone said on the internet. She was like, you know, sometimes when we journal, we think of movies, like, we think about the movies we've watched and how intense their journaling was. And how it made sense in the next 2,000 years, and like somebody picks up their journal and somebody sees the secret of life in their journal, and somebody uses their journal and enjoys her time in Paris and things like that. She's like, just write. Your journal might not make sense in the next.
No, it's totally true.
They expect your journal to make sense, and like there was a time I started trying to journal. I was I was trying to be so exotic in my writing. Because at the back of my mind, I was like, oh God, I want somebody to read my journal and be amazed. So I was trying to be exotic. Like, so there was so much pressure. I could not keep up. I only wrote once that day. And I didn't write again. Like that period, I didn't write again because I cannot keep up with the flamboyance of, you know, trying to be deep in every aspect of my writing.
I didn't even know that it was a thing. Like me, I was just, even my handwriting is terrible, Seth. I was just writing as it was copied. Like, the process, I was just giving it hot, but I totally understand what you're saying, though.
Yeah, so I was trying to be very, like, deep, but recently, like, I've started, I'm not that consistent. I think right now I've maintained a 3-day streak, like, so I'm clapping for my, I've maintained a 3-day streak. Is it 3-day or 2-day streak? Like, back to back, I've written consistently, but I don't try to be like flamboyant. I just like try to write like one sentence for every aspect of my life, like within my relationship life, I write one aspect, my health life, I write one aspect, like I just write one aspect of everything. When I was younger,
I hope listeners are actually taking note. Though. See, we are giving them mental health tips. We should add professor to your name, kid, as well.
Don't loud it. That's my title already. But like, when I was younger, I used to keep a journal, guy. My classmates, they used to read my journal like
time. Diary and journal are the same thing.
Yeah, it's just different name. Like, one is PhD, one is BSc. So, diary is best.
What's my head?
Then, journal is PhD. So, like, I used to keep a diary when I was younger. Ah, gosh, faithfulness. My diary has so much venom. Like, if it vexed me, I will write such a stupid girl.
It's not a venom.
Imagine all the old people that have written inside that. Very stupid girl, and if I see them, I'll laugh because I'm not ready to fight anybody. But my girl, such a stupid man. So they saw what I wrote, man. If you see the way they came for me, Jehovah. I wasn't even upset that he read my diary, my journal, because at the back of my mind, I was like, at least you know how I feel now. Like, take it.
No, do you know? No. Do you know the funny thing? Not
that
funny
my best
thing.
Friend then, sorry. I was upset then, like then, that my best friend then was the person that actually Gaglet, DVD, exactly. So that was my obsession. Ah, like, that's what made me obsessed. But I was like, because I was like, God, at least all of you know. Like, I'm so happy you guys know that I think you're idiots.
No, I feel like
sad that you betrayed me.
No. I feel like, you know, when you're journaling, it's how you feel at that certain point. Like, the next day, you might not feel that that person is an idiot, except the person is like a consequential idiot. But you get my point.
Yeah.
But you get my point. The person is a serial idiot. My point is that it might just be how you feel about a particular situation or a person at that point in time. Do you get my point? Yeah, that's just how it is. I think that's how journaling is. So if you read my journal, anyway, I don't think I've called anybody an idiot in my journal yet. But if you read my journal, you see that it's an idiot. You might have been for that particular time or something.
I've grown. I don't call people idiots again.
Wow, I'm impressed. I'm impressed.
Yeah. So, before, like, we leave, before we turn this session to last time session, that we didn't talk about the main bone of contention.
The cocoa.
Yeah,
exactly.
Exactly. The cocoa of the gist.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk. So, today, guys, you know, we talked about it last week, that we didn't talk about let me just say last episode, because man, the timeline is confusing. So
exactly,
yeah, so in the last episode we're like giving you hints that we're going to talk about faith.
Yeah,
and we didn't talk about it.
Yeah,
so that is what we're going to talk about today. Side note, guys, I'm also growing though, so don't expect Pastor Mrs. advice from me. I'm not mommy G.O. So, I'm not going to give any mommy G.O. shaking the building.
I think Chinaza can also testify that I've been dodging this topic like for a while.
Yes,
like,
actually, I've been dodging it for a while.
I'll be like, we're talking about this, right? And I'll be like, is there anything else we should talk about before this? Always. Like, so it's more like I'm not proud of my faith, though. Don't get me wrong. I've always felt that it's tricky. Like, even on social media, like, I feel like when you talk about faith, sometimes you're always at the edge. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, though. Don't get me wrong, or something like that. But there's a way it just is. Like, when it comes to faith, your religion, you get, like, it looks as if when you're talking about yours, you have to bastardize someone else's belief or something, and you know that is not the way me I roll, you understand? So so the point is that whatever we say here, we're not trying to say that our opinions are superior, or do you get,
is our saying, belief,
exactly, we're talking from our own perspective, you
exactly.
get, please, no one should get offended. And I think that's just the revelation of the whole story I'm trying to give. So Chinaza, would you like to start? Yeah.
Nah, let me start with you. So okay, how we even start this thing now? Like this, like guys, this is why we didn't even want to start initially, because we're like, what are we going to talk about? But don't worry, like God's going to lead us. Like
okay. Do you know what? Now I'm sorry to divert, but this faith thing now, you know, like is about like. It links to every other area of our life. You get like our work, our relationships, and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I saw a tweet like yesterday, and the person said something. I know this boils down to relationship as well, and people have been hearing relationship topic from us. But I just want you guys to just listen to me. I'm going to summarize the tweet.
Sorry, side note. Should we not start this? Hello, Jero. Like, hello, Stephen. As if I'm saying, like, after they like you, they say, what should I do?
Oh my God. So she said that Christian brothers, when you want to toast a lady, that it is not okay. You know, I think we talked about it last time, but it's not okay for you to come and tell a lady that God said that you are the one, I should marry you, and you are not physically attracted to the person. Like,
okay.
I feel like some people feel like they are too spiritual to be physically attracted to somebody. I don't know if it's a thing. Like,
I think it's a thing,
but I don't know if it's a church thing, like, that's what I don't want it to be like, but you know, I shared my experience last time of how someone was saying that it was the Holy Spirit that told him that we should marry ASAP. And even the God himself is not even ready for a relationship because of marriage. You get the point? So when like, I feel like people like to really twist these things. I don't know if he's understanding. That I say I don't get it. But this another aspect of faith that, you know, people need to talk about.
Yeah, it's true. I feel like there's a how will I say? I don't know. Let me see. How will I say? There's this over spiritualization of some things that I'm about to sneeze. I don't want to enter the news. Of some things that are not supposed to be. Like I feel like sometimes some Christians lose the fact that I think that in a relationship you're supposed to be physically attracted to your spouse.
Yeah.
Forget it. Don't quote me anyway. See.
No, we are not saying for the kid though.
No, I'm saying please now. You guys should chill. You guys should not jump the horse or should jump the gun. Yeah, that's the expression. See, what I'm saying is you have to be physically attracted to your spouse. I cannot count how many people that I've seen that and I'm like, guys, these guys are good. See, and when I mean physically attracted to your spouse is not your I say your spouse, I don't jump you, but starting from boyfriend, I never but like your boyfriend does not have to be Tom Cruise or, you know, Brad Pitt or each guy is
or Daniel Kaluuya
or Captain America. It doesn't that hot. So first, you are looking at him or you are looking at her, and the person makes sense in your eyes. See, forget she does not or he does not have to make sense in the eyes of everybody because it's you. So far, the person makes sense in your eyes is okay.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's a babe I listen to. I'm not going to mention them because they're quite popular. I listened to them on. Then I was having an issue. Like I met this guy and I liked this guy. Not like it was just like the talking stage. So I had not seen this guy physically. So the time I saw this guy physically, I know it might sound shallow, but I was physically attracted to what I saw.
Okay.
And I was like, I'm like, I know this might sound shallow because I feel like that's what a lot of people try to, you know, they try to say, oh, I'm not this shallow. I'm not, you know, I don't care about looks. They lie. Everybody does. If I'm going to be honest, even my dad was like, see, the first thing people see is like your looks before they even start to go out, whether you have sense or you don't have sense. Your looks is what they will figure out. So everybody cares about looks. People just want to lie about. That's why you see. Okay, let me not jump. So like, so I was in my mind like, okay, first thing first. Part of the reasons why I cannot, like, I don't want to date this guy is because I've seen some other things, but I was like, first, I'm also not physically attracted to this person. So I cannot even rationalize other things because I'm like, okay, how do I even walk with this person when in my heart of heart, I mean, I don't even want to be seen with this person. Now, side note, guys, in case, because some people would think, oh, physically attracted, guy is poor, that's why this guy has money. So let me just bust anybody's bubble. He has money, he has his house, he has a car, he's not begging, he has his business, the business is booming, he's not begging anybody for money. He travels when he feels like. So money is not his problem. But what I saw, I didn't like what I saw. So I just hope this guy does not listen to this. So like basically, money is not his problem. So when I say I'm not physically attracted, it's what I'm seeing that I don't like. So basically, I now went online and I like listened to these particular people's YouTube this thing session, and they were like, oh, there's some women, you know, they said that when they saw their husband was not fine, and they married him like that.
Yeah.
Knowing that he was ugly, and one day they woke up and he was now fine in their eyes, and I'm like, it's a lie. That I think someone said God did it for him or something. Like I was reading the comments, and someone was like, his wife was not that fine, but you know he married her, and you know God did it.
What does someone mean by
China? China. Yes. God did it, and maybe she was fat before. I think that was the gist. Maybe she was fat before someone. Maybe she was not that shaping. Now she's now shaping. And I'm like, let me tell you something. The truth is, yeah, God did not do it. This woman just changed to what she wanted.
Exactly.
Do you understand? She just, yeah, changed to what she wanted. And I was, yeah, like, when I was listening to that thing, I was like, I don't understand. And they'd be like, oh, your physical look is not. And I'm like, see, I don't know whether it's new, but I, yeah, also read something else from someone else, Bimbo Dukoya. She was like, she listed, like, you know her now, Pastor Bimbo Dukoya. She, yes, said, singles are married.
Yeah.
Like, she listed some things and she was like, being physically attracted to your spouse is a must. Like, you have to, yes, be physically attracted to the person that you are seeing. Not, yeah, God told me, because I don't know, I don't really know how to explain. At some point, eh, you don't want to say, eh, I didn't even want to marry yourself. It's not like I even find God just told me to marry you. Do you get that kind of thing? You, yeah, have to be physically attracted to your spouse. That's what will keep this spark going. Like, that's, yeah, that's what will make your sexual life active. Because, yeah, you're attracted to what you are seeing. If you're not attracted to what you are seeing, how will you want that person, like, to even touch on irregular? Because I don't know, Sha, because I know this topic is actually really, let me just say, it's really edgy for most, yeah, Christians. Because most Christians, yeah, don't want to talk about this type of thing. They just say, oh, don't worry, he's a good brother, he's a this thing. I'm not physically attracted to him, but I believe in time God will do it.
Yeah.
Don't shoot yourself in the foot. Don't, yeah, don't go and marry him. You now realize that. Ha. Because there are so many brothers that you can be physically attracted to that are godly.
Exactly.
See, and the guy that you're not physically attracted to, leave him for somebody. Somebody is physically attracted to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just shift from his side. Leave him for the girl that you're not physically attracted to. Somebody is crazy over her. So, yeah, don't say, oh, he's godly. Even though it's not physically attractive, I will manage. Get that kind, yeah, of thing. Don't, yeah, manage physical attraction. I don't know whether it makes any sense, but to me, I, yeah, just feel like it's a no-no for me. If I'm not physically attracted to you, we cannot continue. That's just me. We cannot continue.
Yeah, so it just at the end of the day, it just looks like sometimes people use faith as an excuse to be in relationships or situationships that they should never have entertained before. You get. I think another thing that comes to mind is courtship. People think that maybe because God has told them that, oh, this is the person, they don't need to court the person. You, like, I don't know where people learned that from. I don't know the kind of miracle that is. Me, I'm not trying to condemn. Maybe some people say, oh, they met their husband a week ago and they got married after 1 week. Maybe, I don't know. I get. But I feel like when there's no proper courtship, when you have not properly understood somebody or stuff like that, I don't know how you can be in a relationship with somebody because in quotes, God said this is the person. Sometimes you can, like, sometimes before approaching someone, you can have like this intuition that, oh, this is someone that, you know, I would like to be with and stuff like that. But you have to actually court this person. My point is that you have to date this person. You have to be in a relationship with somebody to properly know somebody. I don't know if you can know somebody like in 1 week or me. I don't know how you could do it. Anybody, maybe your emotional stability is strong. I don't want to put a timeline because I'm using 1 week now. People can pick that 1 week and think that it's a, I don't know, like it's a criteria or something. I don't understand. But my point is that you can't keep using faith as an excuse to be in relationships or situations that you should not have any business being in because of faith. You can't keep, you understand my point? Like,
mm-hmm.
Keep using faith as an excuse. God said this. God said, do you know, sometimes, like we said in the last podcast, some people are so desperate. Some people are like, they are old. They are, maybe there's a particular age, they are 35. And someone comes and says, God said I should marry you again. The fact is that they feel like they're getting old, like they're getting, like, say, too old, or they are no longer going to be ripe, or nobody is going to marry them at that age. And they just feel like, okay, do you know what? Since I don't have a choice again, let me just tell you something. You have a choice. Let me just tell you something. You have a choice. You have a choice. You have a choice. Don't, like, I don't know. I don't know if it's just me, but anytime I look at so many failed marriages and relationships, like when I just look at them, especially the ones that, you know, when we initially started, they said it's God that told them that they were going to marry the person. And anytime I look at it, there are so many, like, say, red flags or things that you knew before you even stepped into the relationship or situationship, but you're just like, because the person said it is God that told him that it is me, so let's just, at the end of the day, long run, you are not to manage relationships. Do you get my point?
Mm-hmm.
Relationship is not just a job that you go 9 to 5 from and you come back. Like you're not to manage marriage. Do you get? Mm-hmm. I don't know if you get my point, Sha, but that's just basically it. You can't keep using faith as an excuse to say that you would not do proper research, you would not pray about it personally, you will not be physically attracted. Do you get, like, some other things that some people, there's this something I was reading, that there are some Christians or there are some people that believe, they don't believe in love languages. Like, they don't believe that their partner should have, let's say, maybe your partner prefers acts of service, or your partner prefers quality time. They don't believe in those things. I don't know, maybe they think that those things are things of the world. Like, if we start this conversation, okay, we might not even finish, because there are, like, so many touchy and edgy areas. So, I think that is that for me. You can seek God for yourself. You can pray for yourself. But never be in a hurry, or never use faith as an excuse to be or to do something that you know initially that it is not even worth it. I think that's just basically the summary of that whole faith and the mission thing for me.
Yeah. Okay, so let's oh God, I'm about to sneeze, man. So I've been struggling. Like, I don't know what is irritating my nostrils. Like, I want to sneeze so bad. It's awful. So okay, let's thank you. So let's go to like the faith proper. So let's say, how would you like describe your like Christian life? Like, if you were to like put it like in a 10-sentence summary, like, okay, from maybe when you were small, how, you know, some people they'll be like,
yeah,
have you heard this thing like, oh, I was born a Christian, now I'm no longer a Christian. Like, so obviously you were born a Christian. Like, now that you've grown, how will you like summarize everything and like,
okay. So I wouldn't say I was born a Christian. I was born in a Christian home.
Okay. Let's say like
that. I was born in a Christian home. And for me, my experience was that my parents were always active in church related activities. So I've always had that rising intuition that I was meant to, like, I believe in God, like, and to accept just my Lord and Savior. But at the time, initially at the time, I just felt, because I was in a Christian home, I was already born again, which was so wrong. Like, I had not, like, you know, genuinely, or will I say consciously, accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Do you get? I was just in the belief that since I go to parents, since I attend every Wednesday, Saturday fellowships, I was already a Christian and all. That was the belief. And I also believe that as long as I do good things, I'm already in that good book. I was just comfortable with that theory in my head for a while. Then I can never forget, my GS3 extension. Someone was teaching and talking, you know, giving your life to Christ, you know, just accepting Lord as your Savior and stuff like that. Like, you get, if you have not consciously said Jesus accept you as my Lord and Savior, you are not born again. You get, like, so that just so many, you know, do you know the funny thing? These are another tricky subject, because there are so many teachings about, you know, giving your life to Christ. Some people talk about rededication, some people talk about once saved, forever saved. Like, there's so many, you get, like, there are so many doctrines, and me, I don't want to go into doctrine. Believe me, because I'm also in a state where there are so many teachings that I am also confused about. So I'm not going to go into any doctrinal teaching. So please bear with me, because I'm just being very honest with you. I'm confused about some certain things. So there and then, just, I think it was around 2011 or so, April. So I was like, let me just forget the fact that my parents are Christians for a minute, and let me know God for myself. And that year I just decided to know, let me give my life to Christ. I've been hearing of this thing, though. Like, even when I was going to children's church, I was always hearing about it, but I just never, like, thought it was necessary, because I'm like, since my parents were Christian and they gave birth to me, I'm already a Christian. You get? That's what I was thinking. But after I went through that experience of giving my life to Christ and stuff like that, I feel like there was a change, like something evolved. Like, it was no longer I just want to listen to so pastor's message. It was, I wanted to personally study the word of God and know what God is saying about certain things in my life. It was like, you get, I want to pray. not only Sunday prayers that you get. I want to pray, and thank God for the secondary school I went to also. Shout out to Faith Academy as well. Like, there were teachings, there were like programs. You get like,
was it about this school?
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
Like, so many things that, so many, like I say, so many things were put in place for you to grow spiritually. It was not as easy as the words I'm just saying, you get. But, you know, the school, you know, made sure that there were programs that were put in place to help us, you know, grow spiritually and all. And I think another thing that, will I say, kind of puts me on my feet a bit was when I was finally appointed, like, you know, like a chapel prefect and all, I knew that I had to be
chapel prefect!
Stop.
Wait, seriously, you're the chapel prefect?
Yes.
Okay, I'll give you guys my own gist. I was almost the chapel prefect, but something happened.
So I knew that I wasn't perfect or anything, don't get me wrong. But I knew that I had to be more cautious because obviously people are looking up to you. And you know, I don't know if people still say it now, but I used to hear this thing then that unbelievers look at believers as their Bible or something. I don't know if you can remember that phrase. But I used to hear people say that. So I will not be like, hey God, people are looking at me. I have to behave reasonable. Like, I can't be stupid again. Maybe all those funny and, you know, sarcastic and foolish things I used to do then, I can't do that. But you know, I evolved. Like, over time, I evolved. I got to, you know, I just got to see that you spiritually, the way you grow physically, you should also want to grow spiritually. You cannot just be stagnant and comfortable, maybe because of like a position that you have in the church, or like a position you have in school, or no, a particular position means that maybe you are superior or something like that spiritually. No, you need to grow, you get, you need to study, you need to pray, and you just have to, you know, you just have to tell God that. Or just tell God, tell the Holy Spirit that, see, you have to direct me, you have to teach me. Because there have been so many, like, what I say, things that I've heard the past few years that have confused me, and it has kind of stunted my growth. You get? Like, there were some things that my eyes were not open to at a particular point in life. Now, when I got to the university stage, you get? I'm not ashamed of this, but my spiritual growth, like, stunted a bit because, you know, like when you are used to attending particular churches and stuff, and you are no longer attending there, you begin to hear things differently, and you are like, this is not what my pastor is supposed to
say. Was it Christ Tavern? I'm sorry, I just have to mention the name of the church here. Was it Christ Tavern? Is that what you're talking about?
Okay. No.
Did you go to Christ Tavern in diploma?
I think I went once or twice. I think I went times. I think I went a couple of times.
Okay.
But no, let's not go into that, please.
No. I'm not trying to, like, no. Yes. Like, when you talk about confusion, like,
yes, okay,
when I went to Christ, I totally remember
that, but I that's not what you're saying. But you know, like, apart from even the Christ Harvard thingy, there were like so many other things, like, you get, so many other, like, people, like, I just became confused at a certain point that, what exactly am I doing? Do you know, I know that some people listening might not even believe it, but there was about that time I said that, do you know what? I was going to stop attending, for 2-3 weeks, I didn't go to church. I was like, okay, you know what? Please, you need to breathe. Like, you get, like, I feel like I did not want to be in God's presence or something. But it was as if I was hearing so many different things, and I just became confused. Like, it's like the Bible say this thing now, the Bible not say anything. And you know something? Now, the scripture that says that no scripture is of private interpretation, you get. Now, someone can read something from NIV or KJV or Amplified, and he's saying the same thing. But maybe the words, you know, people look at the words, the punctuation marks, the intonation, the Greek terminology, the Arab terminology. You get my point? Like, different terminologies, and people now say, okay, looking at the Greek terminology, looking at social terminology, it means this. So, and I've never had so much in-depth, like, explanation of Bible like that before. So I'm like, okay, what is this? I didn't understand, like, and it stunted my spiritual growth because I was always now worried of, when I hear something different, does it mean that I was never born again in the first place? Does it mean that I was never spiritual in the first place? You get, like, I was not able to decipher what is right, what is wrong. Like, you know, there's some different things, like, you see people arguing, is tattoo a sin? Is this a sin? Do you get, like, all this kind of I'm not going to that abeg because me, I'm not a pastor or something. But you get my point, like, there are some just initial beliefs that we have had, like, growing up. And now that when we hear certain things, we'll just be like, and it affected me. Like, like for a long time it affected me. So there was a particular time I went to a particular church. God bless their soul. I don't say the name on this podcast, so it's not like
I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry for the one I said, guys. Sorry. They all come for me.
So it's not like I'm picking a church over another church. Like, I just don't want any, you know, anything like anything contradictory on the podcast. And I went and I listened to pastor. Like, now I'd listened to this pastor when I was in school. He had come to teach in Faith Academy like before. Like, you get, he had a devotional before and stuff like that. So that was like in Faith Academy. So I used to enjoy him teach. But I heard him teach that day, and I was like, there was this peace. Do you get? Like, I was like, like, where has this person been? You get, there was this peace, like, okay, now, like, you know, when someone opens the scriptures and the person is not trying to tell you that, maybe, like, trying to make a fool out of you or something. I don't know how to explain, but the person is just telling you exactly what you are seeing in the scripture. You know, and sometimes that what the scripture is saying is what it is saying. It is not saying something else.
Okay.
Do you get my point? But sometimes people just say, oh, the scripture is saying this, but this is what it meant. And you will not be like, ah, God, what is happening? But that was the first time, like, in a long while that I found peace. And I kept, you know, I kept attending, I kept following. And I just realized that there was a change. You get? Mm-hmm. That stunted growth that was happening before, there was a change.
Ooh, but, you know, praise Jesus.
I'm not preaching peace. But, you know, things happened that I couldn't keep up going there because, you know, service year came, I went back to my parents' place, like, you get, so I had to go back to, you know, when, for example, now you were hearing something before, you were confused, you now went to a place, there was peace, you were attending there for a while, then you go back to another place again where you're hearing another thing, and you'll not be like, okay, this is contradicting what my, okay, let me just speed this up. The point is that I had to learn how to, no matter what I hear or who I hear it from, I had to learn how to go back to scriptures, do you get, and ask the Holy Spirit to teach me. You get, that's one thing I had to learn, like, over the past few years, that throughout my service here, and even now currently, like, no matter where I go to church at, or no matter how people are arguing about their beliefs or what to believe and not what to believe, my point is that I had to sit myself down and say that no matter what you believe, no matter what you don't believe, no matter what people are telling you, no matter what they say is right or wrong, you get, the ability for me to go to the scriptures and say, okay, Holy Spirit, what are you saying concerning this? Holy Spirit, what are you saying in First Peter? Holy Spirit, what are you saying concerning the situation? For me, you get, that's one thing that I've learned over the years. And my spiritual life is not there yet, don't get me wrong, like, it's not even perfect at all, but I've noticed that there is a change. You get, like, that growth is not as stunted as I thought it was before now. Like, you know, I can, you know, there's some things that I can boast up and say, oh yes, you get, you know, I'm studying this. You know, there are some days that you don't feel like studying the Bible. There are some days that prayer looks like so much work for me. You get, there's some days that I'm like, let me even say, I have to say this on this podcast. I'm so sorry, I'm taking so much time, Chinaza. But let me just say this. Do you know that there was a particular point in my life that I was experimenting something? I don't know if this has ever happened to you before, but if this has happened to you, please tell me. I know I'm not the only one. So there was a particular time in my life that I was serious with God, like, you get, like, I am serious with God, but you know the funny thing? I would the days that I pray before I went out, something bad would happen to me. Like, something bad just happened. Something, like, it was very, like, initially I didn't know. I don't know if it was the devil that told me that. I don't know if it's like anytime you pray, something bad will happen to you in school. Like, something bad will happen. Like, maybe it was my relationship or something. Something bad just happened. So I now decided that let me just alternate it. Maybe the day, today I'll pray. Something bad will happen. Mm-hmm. So the next day I won't pray before stepping out. I won't study the Bible at all. And nothing bad will happen to me. So I now decided in my heart that maybe this thing is not for me. Maybe for me. God does not want me to say. I know this sounds stupid. No, I know this sounds really weird, but that was how my thinking cap was going at the time. I was like, okay, you know what? Maybe I should stop studying the word of God before I go outside. Maybe I should stop praying. I should just be doing good, and good things will happen to me. And for a long time, I held on to that stupid mentality. Even during my service year, there were days that I felt like bad things happened to me. And those days were days that maybe I woke up so early, I prayed, I studied. Again, I was holding on to this very stupid... Devil is a bastard, though. I was holding on to this very stupid No, it's the truth.
That idea
that if I did not pray and commit my day to God's hands, that. But you know the funny thing, the days I thought that there were days that were good, there were days that nothing spectacular happened in my life. Like, I didn't get to discover. I was just saying they were good because the days were
nothing
going normally, nothing happened. You get not saying that days that things were happening, they were happening for my good. But I didn't know at the time. You get, because I was like, this thing is a bad thing. Why is it happening to me? You know, I was tweeting one time that before an Arsenal game, like, I don't know, Arsenal versus Chelsea, like, it was a final game. And we're to win that cup. Like, if we're going to win the cup, we're going to play Champions League. And that day I prayed. Before I started,
and you lost.
When we lost, I was crying. I told God that God was wicked. Because it's not allowed my club win. Because it's not allowed my club win. I'm not joking, no. It sounds funny now that I think about it. But I knelt down in front of my bed after the game and I begged God. I told God that if it's because of my sins that Arsenal are in, please forgive me. I don't know how it sounds silly.
Oh my god. Not even the sins of the footballers, though.
I said, God, it's because of my sins that Arsenal they are losing. God, please forgive those things. Because so there's so many things that we hold on to, but as time goes on, exactly. So I feel like as time goes on, you know, we get to learn, we get to understand, we evolve, you know. No, but that's just basically the summary of my whole, like, you know, spiritual and faith life and stuff like that. So, over to you.
Yes, like, let me even start from, like, what you just said. Like, sometimes when you pray and it's like, when you pray, that's when bad things happen. Honestly, man, I've been in that place. I used to be like, sometimes I used to be like, let me not pray so that it will work out well, because if I pray, it's like, I'm inviting every bad thing to notice that, okay, this is what I want. And let me give an example. Like, we did diploma, guys. For people that don't know, diploma is like A-levels in UNILAG. So if you pass your diploma, you get to study the course you want in year two. Like, you just go from your diploma to your year two. So year like two. A-levels. So I got admission for medicine and surgery diploma. So in my heart of heart, like, I was like, God, I'm going to this. Let me not lie, initially, especially the physics part, I first, and you know, I was just coming from this secondary school mentality. So I took physics in university, like physics in secondary school. I just learned, oh, what's the formula for work? This time. And that's not how it works in the university. In the university, you need to derive the formula. So I was like, my physics was really crappy. My chemistry was just there and everything. So I another thing, I was coming from home. Like, okay, now guys, I'm digressing, but I was coming from home. So it was really hectic, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, it was really hectic. Then I decided to, like, go to stay in my sister's hostel. Then I was like, okay, God, please, I really want this diploma to work well for me. I'll go to church every day. I'll pray every day. I don't think I used to miss mass then. Okay, yeah, I'm Catholic. I don't think I used to miss mass then. Like, I used to go to mass every day. I used to pray every day. Like, God, please, I want to pass this diploma. And it was really a lot of money. So I was also scared that, God, please, I don't want to waste my parents' money. So, long story short, diploma result came out. After all my reading and praying, I did not pass. See, let me tell you, faithfulness, in that period, you know this thing I said, God, you're wicked. I was keeping beef with God. Like, my own words, I was keeping beef. Like, we're not talking tense. I stopped praying. I was like, what's the point? Like, if it comes to my mind, like, you know, like, pray, I'm like, okay, what am I praying for? Should be just this small thing I wanted and I didn't get it. So what am I praying for? Like, what's the thing did I pray for? And, like, I was so upset. Like, I was very, very upset. And I think people don't realize that you can actually be upset with God. And I think it's like if you say it, people be like, better keep going so you not just die. But it happens, because like when I didn't pass, I was like, God, I just begged you for this small thing. I did not tell you that I want money in my account. This was the only thing I was asking for. And you did not give it to me. Yeah. Like, so I didn't ask you for a boyfriend. I didn't ask you for money. I didn't ask you for to make me more fashionable. I didn't ask for anything. This was just what I wanted, and you did not give me. So I was so upset. And like, so I get your point, Dan, and I feel like most people like go through it, but they do. Maybe that, you know, there's this fear like that if you admit something, maybe thunder will just strike you and you just pass away. But like, it's the truth. People get upset with God because see, you ask for things and you know things don't happen. So I was so upset, and one day I went for mass and after I didn't pass my diploma, I was just going to church for function. I was just performing. It was just performance church I was going to. I was not praying. Yeah. I wasn't even listening. I was just there. I was just going to come back. Like, at least let me just stick done. I went to church on Sunday, done. So, that was what was happening. Then one day I went to mass, and the Reverend Father was, I don't know, he just started talking about forgiveness. And he was like, okay, so let's even start from the main thing. You need to learn how to forgive God. You know, there's some people, and he was like, there's some people that are upset with God. And in my mind, I was like, seriously, God in church? Is this why he wants to make me cry? And I was just crying. And in my mind, I was like, God, okay, really, I didn't even realize that before then that I was upset with God. I didn't know that was the label. I just didn't want to pray. I just felt like if I prayed, it won't work and it would be bad. But I didn't know that I was actually upset, like legit upset.
But God did not offend you now.
Excuse me, if I still let me tell you something. I prayed for that message. So it was very upset. And you know the funny thing? And why I was even more upset was like, I heard stories that the year before our year, the cutoff mark, like what I scored, was even above I'm like, is it because I prayed? That's why the cut off mark now increased. What is this? I was so upset. See, guy, it's easy now to look back at it and say, okay, things just happened, and you know, they must stay. Let me just say, my daddy says, you were supposed to study this biochemistry. Because let me just give you a side note, I had biochemistry in post-EME, I didn't want it. So I still had biochemistry in diploma. So my dad is like, you're supposed to study this biochemistry. I mean, I was not having it, because then I was like, God, why are you giving biology and chemistry? What is this? Why do you want to do my life like this? So then, and he was like, you just have to forgive God. And there are people that are like that now, basically. Like, I'm just trying to bring it, like, there are people that are like that now, that you've prayed for things and like,
yeah,
it's like it's not working. I used to tell Faithfulness a story, like when I was like, there was a time like recently I was just praying, and I was like, and something just came to my mind, like, you've been praying for a job, seriously. Yeah. People that are not even praying, they already have jobs.
They're getting jobs.
Why are you wasting your time? And I was like, immediately, I will not lie to you guys, I'll be honest, my temple, if I was supposed to bring down the roof of my house with the way I started, I don't even think I shook my book. Like, I didn't even move. I was just so sad, like, God. Like, I just toned down. But the thing is, I didn't stop praying. And that's just, like, the thing I just want to bring. Like, there are some things that would happen. Like, the devil just brings to your mind and say, okay, you've been praying. What's your own? I don't know that I prayed. This thing is not even working. You better stop praying. You get. Don't stop. Like, excuse me, what I did then, like when that thing came to my heart that some people that have jobs and you know, I wanted to pray. I just stopped praying. I started praising. And after then, I don't think I prayed for a job again. I just went like full head on praise. Like, I'll just take my Bible, read some Psalms, like Psalms that have to do with things. And I'm like, okay, thank you, God. Thank you. Like, that was what I was just doing. Like, basically, I had stopped praying, but I didn't stop. You understand? I didn't stop altogether. If I even choose it, God's not going to answer me. I started thanking him, that guy, you've answered, God, you have answered me already. I know this thing has happened. And honestly, like, I feel like it's working, because he has given me so much peace, like, in my heart. regardless, they are giving me pills. So also, so like, if you're on this table, if you're upset with God, don't let anybody bamboozle you. You can be upset with God. You're a human being. Just forgive God. That's what your father said. He said forgive God. And when he said forgive God, my father was on my back. My father was like, seriously, forgive God. Why are you needing to forgive God? Like, seriously, you want to forgive God? Hey, oh, you get how that thing sounds? Like, you this small rat, you want to forgive God?
Exactly.
Are you joking?
Even as I'm hearing it, it's even starting to come out in my ear.
It sounds funny.
Yes, it sounds funny.
It sounds funny, but it's the truth. And when I actually like heard that thing, I was like, God, I forgive you for the get. Like, it sounds funny.
It sounds really funny.
When you think about it, because you're upset. When you're upset with somebody, you have to forgive the person now. You're upset with God. You feel like when I pray to God, it does not happen. Then bad things happen. I don't know, Sha, but the way he explained it, it just gave me so much peace. Like, I was like, okay. And it made me realize that. Because, I don't know, I feel like there's this fear. And I feel like if you look at it from, if you say God is your father, I don't know anybody that is on this life, in this life. There are some people, Sha, very exceptional, that have not been upset with their parents. I've been upset with my parents at some time, and I needed to forgive them. Do you understand? So if you say God is your father too, I feel like they don't have this fear of Jesus. If I say I'm upset, I'm going to just, you know, drop on the floor and die. Do not drop on the floor and die if you admit what is even truly in your heart. Because honestly, God sees your heart already now. Don't kid yourself. He knows you're upset with him. So, like, just say, okay, just forgive God. Because if I say just say, God, I forgive you, some people will want to run because it's still so scary. Because me too, sometimes when I think about it, like, God, I forgive you, like, is God that's supposed to be giving me the forgiveness?
Exactly.
Is the one.
When you are saying, God, I forgive you, it sounds really, really, really.
It sounds really funny.
I feel like this podcast is going to be a really interesting topic.
It sounds funny, but when you forgive somebody, you let go of the hurt you think that they've caused you. When you forgive God, you release that hurt that you're thinking, oh, God is the one doing this to me. And you start to, like, okay, you forgive him, and you start to realize that, okay, there are some things that he's doing that you cannot see. Like, there are some places he's trying to take you to that they don't make sense now, but with time they will make sense. But you will it will never make sense to you if you are still holding on to that annoyance, that anger. That's why I just say, like, I feel like you need to forgive God, but just take your time. If you don't want to forgive God, just say, God, forgive me for being upset.
God,
yes. so that you will not be upset. Yes. So that you can understand. Just say, okay, God, forgive me for being upset that I didn't trust you. Please help me to see, like, your plans for me. Like, I know I might not, like, I cannot see the whole picture, but you have the whole picture in your hands. Like, help me to trust in the process that you are, like, taking me through. Yeah, so that's about, like, deep disappointment. So, okay, I wanted to also talk about something, like, okay, when you are cold in the spirit. I think I've talked about, like, if you cannot pray, because let me not lie, it's not every day, like, as a Christian that you be fire branded. It's like sometimes you just, I don't know whether it happens to people, but sometimes, like, you see me every morning, I'm praying in the night, I'm praying, like, my body's ginger, like, my spirit is ginger. I cannot explain that, you know, that feeling of, you know, I just want to read my Bible, like, I cannot contain it. But there are some days that, hey, to even read one sentence in the Bible, I'm like, it's like hard labor, manual labor. Like, it's so stressful for me sometimes. So I feel like in those days when you are cold, like for me now, in the days where I feel cold, I just plug into music. Like, I just listen to gospel music. Like, I might not even pray. Normally I pray, like, my praying is like I don't think about it. You have to pray when you wake up, you have to pray when you sleep. Like those two, I would always do it. But like, I may not pray like in the middle of the day or something. I may not read my Bible. Those days that I'm feeling like, okay, I'm just going through
doing that.
Like an obligation. Yeah. I'm just like plug into music. Like I would listen to, sometimes even listening to this song self, I'm not like, it's hard. But I just I just close my eyes and I just press the button. What is already playing? It's already playing. So yeah, like in those periods, like that's what I do to myself. Like I just listen to songs, like, and they help me, they edify me, like they lift my spirit up in those days that I'm feeling cold. So like when you're feeling cold, I think you need to find out what helps you. Like some people might just be even like reading their Bible, that will get them back. Some people, it might just be praying for morning,
might be speaking
get
in
them. Exactly, like just like, yeah, just look for that thing that you know that you would do, that even when you are down, you can still be able to do it. That will now get you fired up back, because trust me, there are some days that you will not feel like it. And like Kenny Hagin will say, you don't need to feel the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in you already. It's not a feeling. The Holy Spirit is in you. You don't need to feel like, oh, I don't feel so, you know, like it is in you already. It's not a feeling. So that's that. So there was something you said initially that I wanted to talk about, like unbelievers look to believers as their Bible. What do you think that this, because there was some, I've had this thought too, like I have friends, you know, I think that everybody now has friends that don't believe in the Bible. Do you understand? People that are very liberal in their thoughts, you get. And sometimes in my mind I'm like, if I do some things, like does it make them like see Christians as, you know, like, let me just say, like now if I say, okay, I want to do this, let me just say, okay, does it make them see Christians in a bad light? Do you understand? I don't know. Like I've had that feeling too, like, oh, you have to do like this so that, you know, this person sees you and sees Christians like as an example, like sees Christians in a good light. Like you be an example. Let them see God in you. But like, doesn't that thing put pressure on believers? Like, you know, sometimes it now makes the whole act. I don't know, I'm just asking, like, doesn't it now make the whole act like performatory? Like, I don't know if this is a word.
I think the question should be for the listeners. There will be obviously scriptures backing it at all, because I'm looking at our time and we're about to reach the 1 hour mark. And if we start the conversation when this topic,
chill. Don't worry, chill. Seriously, guys, wait, just chill. Just you see, don't worry, guys. Sorry, if you reach this level and I don't know, should we like have a second episode?
I think that would be like the wisest thing to do. Let's have a second episode. So we can also talk about the feedbacks gotten to this point. So you probably tell us your thoughts on this point. Does this put pressure on Christians that the fact that people say that unbelievers look at Christians? The fact is that people are always looking at you, believer or not, or no believer. Do you get? Like even with the things happening in the country now, you see that, you know, the religion wars and, oh, this person is a Muslim, oh, this person is a this person. Like, you get, like even on a normal day, there's already like, talk about these things already. So basically, it's an open question. We're not saying somebody is more spiritual than another person or something like that. So we would like your thoughts on this whole segment, because we have spoken about so many things about faith in relationships, you know, faith in our day-to-day activities, what you believe, being upset with God, you know, so many things. You get the pressure on Christians to act a certain way in the midst of unbelievers, you know, and more. So
not believers generally, like there's like, I don't know, like you can give me, somebody has said something to me about this thing, that you have to do something. Like I was like, why don't pastors drink? Because this is, I'm going to shatter a table now, I'm going to break a table. You guys can, and I want to break the table so that there'll be feedback. In the Bible, let's chew, Jesus turned water into wine. He did not turn water into grape juice. There's a difference, honestly.
But, they are non-alcoholic wines now.
There is nothing in this history, in the history of the world, like non-alcoholic wine. Anybody that wants to calm down, chill. Anybody that wants to calm down, look at the ever that you're drinking. They don't call it wine. They call it grape juice. I'm telling you guys.
Are you serious? I'm going to go and check a bottle of ever wine now.
Like, there's nothing like non-alcoholic wine. Anything called wine is automatically alcoholic. Now, before we shatter the table, I asked the person, like, I'm not saying you should be a drunkard.
Yes.
I'm not saying you should be a drunk.
Yeah.
But I'm like, there is this, you know, there's this negative connotation to wine drinking. Maybe it's because of the fact that people abuse it. So it's like, okay, why don't pastors drink?
And you can never really know now, pastor. So pastors obviously take good wine or stuff now.
And he was like, pastors might not drink because they have to like keep a certain standard so that the people that are looking up to them don't fall. Do you understand? And I think Paul also said something about that, like, if you want to eat meat, you eat meat. But if you feel like if you do something, it will cause another person to sin. Like, don't do it. Where does the line now draw between you living a hypocritical life? Because, okay, this is something that I do. Then this is now something that I speak against because, or I appear to speak against because I don't want people to see me in light of, oh, maybe I do this, so that they don't follow. Like, where does the line draw? Like, so that you don't, I don't know, because I was thinking about myself, if I'm trying to be an example, how don't I, you know, in the aim of being an example, how do I make sure that I don't now maybe become a hypocrite?
Yeah.
And now start to try to be overly spiritual. Not overly spiritual, like you know, sometimes I don't know whether it happens to people. Like, you just say, oh God, I'm so good. Like, this person's not that good. Like, how do you now not overly, like, I think I'm going into so many things still. Like, okay, also as a Christian, how do you, because I don't know, I feel like once you take your Christianity serious, I don't know whether it's any, like, whether it happens to anybody, but it has happened to me. There was a time I had to stop myself. I was almost sounding like that Pharisee in the Bible that said, God, I thank you, Lord, that I'm a good person and that I'm not like this sinner. How do you consciously, because we're human beings, we're going to like falter. How do you like consciously make sure that you don't talk like that? You don't even act like that. Like, yeah. Because I feel like sometimes that's what somehow even turns people away from the church. Because some people act like that too holy to understand certain things that happen to people. Do you understand? Like, I can't relate because, you know, I'm holy. I don't have sexual urges. Like, I can't relate like that. Having sexual temptations is not me. Like, how do you do it so that you don't make yourself holier than everybody? So that's just the thing. Shall we talk about it in the next episode?
Because this is very interesting. So we'll actually appreciate your feedbacks. Like, if you want to feature on the podcast with us concerning the faith, I think we can make that happen, Chinaza.
Yes, I think we can.
I think we can have three or four people record together. We can have two, like, you know. So if you actually want to record with us and talk about, you know, this faith issue as well, we would also appreciate that. Like, we appreciate your feedback. You can send us voice messages on Anchor, and we can also address your messages and feedback on the podcast as well. So,
Before we go, guys, please share this with your friends. Follow us on Twitter at SWST Podcast.
Yeah.
let me repeat it again, at SWST podcast. Thank you very much. And you can, like, when you follow us, you can give us your feedback on, like, on our DMs. So yeah, that's that. So that's, I feel like today actually went better than we thought it would, because I was scared that. I was scared that we're not going to have anything to say. I thought that we're not going to have anything. I was like, Max, we'll just tell guys, like, guys, this is going to be a very short episode.
You know, I also said last week I was like, Chinas, I just do it now. Just do like 15, 30 minutes episode. But we're happy that we've been able to come up with something, and we hope that you guys enjoyed it, and you guys are, you know, enjoying, you know, this podcast and all. We know that this is like a low budget podcast, so bear with us. We would improve as time goes on. So thank you guys so much, you know, for listening to this episode of Sip Wine and Spilt.
Okay, like we initially said, everything we've shared is our personal thoughts, our personal beliefs, which means it is not the gospel, it is not the truth, it is our personal truth, and we might be wrong. No problem. This is where you give us your feedback, and I want to use this like avenue to give a shout out. I didn't tell you face names. I want to give a shout out to Tammy. She messaged, she personally called me, and she was like, she had, I don't know, maybe she wrote down the question, like, or mentally, but she, had questions, like, for me, like, okay, you said this, you know, and that's the feedback we're looking for, guys.
We love feedback.
Mm, kisses, Tammy. So, like, that means you're actually like listening to us, because these are opinions. People have contradictory opinions, and it's okay. You know, the world is not made up of one person. The world is made up of different people that have different opinions, that see life differently. So, nothing we say here is the gospel. You might see some, and please don't be offended by anything. Like, I don't think opinions are meant to make people offended. It happens to me. I get offended sometimes. But if you look at it critically, opinions are not supposed to make you offended. You're supposed to look at opinions. Okay, this other person's view. Okay, why don't I agree? You're not supposed to agree with everything. So if you don't agree with everything, I don't think you'll be offended. So, please don't be offended by our opinions. They are our opinions. You are also, like, at liberty to have your own opinion. In the spirit of feedback, we'd love to hear your other opinion, or if you even want to make, like, buttress our point, we'd like to hear what you have to say. So thank you guys. So sign us out.
Well, I hope everyone is staying safe. You know, today's Monday, so hope everyone has a great week. Bye. Take care of yourselves.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.